it's a great sign of the ingenuity of a young place like Dubai.
I don't want Bob to have the spreadsheet
of
who owns what, because I think he might change one. Hello and welcome to Two Fat Brokers. I'm Ben from Abu Dhabi.
Barney from Dubai.
And today we're going to be talking about crowdfunding purchases of property and tokenization. So, Barney, what do you know about crowdfunding property?
Crowdfunding, I don't know a lot about, but tokenization, obviously, you know, everybody knows a little bit about tokenization. And for
it
those
was big in the blockchain days,
those that
remember
don't
those days
is when you take an asset. It doesn't have to be a property. There's quite a lot of people doing it in the art space at the moment, and you break up the sum value of the house, for argument's sake, in this scenario. You break it up into shares. So you can break a, you know, 10 million dirham house up into 1,000 shares, and everybody buys 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shares, however much they can afford. And then all of the money is pulled together and the property is purchased. That is tokenization. And it is subsequently then put on the blockchain. So you can then trade your tokens without actually having to sell the full asset, so that it doesn't get broken up.
Mm. Now, from a legal perspective, that offers some issues. So who's the legal owner of something that's tokenized?
And surely the major shareholder would be the legal owner. So if you buy 6 of those 10, 600 of the 599 of those 1,000 shares, you would technically become the major shareholder and then able to do with it what you want.
Yeah, so it runs into issues. Unless you have really, really strong laws surrounding tokenization, it's basically a contract between people to basically so that they can sell shares, because your shares are not really worth anything, because they're not legally give you any standing. Like, shares in a company give you powers and rights and things like that, whereas tokens don't yet, unless you have, you know, really good legislation. Because the guy who bought the most tokens, he's the 100% legal owner in the eyes of the law and can go and sell it and take all the money. Then you'd have to open a case against him.
Take all the money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the law doesn't recognize like tokens. So then you'd have to open a case against him saying, listen, I've got this contract, you know, in the form of a token, where it says if he sells it, or, you know, I get a portion, or he's not allowed to sell it, or whatever it might
be. So what countries have strict laws over tokenization at the moment?
None.
Okay, so how come people are doing it?
They're playing fast and loose with the law.
Okay. Yeah. So is there any historical evidence of people getting burnt by this?
I mean, huge numbers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. I mean, there were like there are so many coin scams, right? Like, so one coin and all this kind of stuff, you know. So there's, it hasn't taken place in real estate, you know, as much, but yeah, I mean, you basically have a contract with someone who owns the property, just to say, listen, if you sell it, I can get a share. So it's basically just a contract law,
which is then civil, federal.
Not criminal. Yeah. Crowdfunding, however, so the platforms that do that, what they tend to do is they tend to have the property owned by a company, and you legitimately buy shares in that company.
Yeah.
So, what they do is they normally raise the money to begin with. So they say, like, we're going to buy this property, get all the money in. It's going to be 2 million dirhams or whatever. Sorry for the small numbers. 2 million dirhams. So they get all the 2 million dirhams. They buy the property. And then you own a certain amount of shares depending on what you have
And so you then
contributed.
Then you sell your shares of the company rather than your shares of the asset that the company holds.
Exactly.
And which is, there's a lot of conditions precedent set around that, commercial law and everything like that.
Yeah, so you're a shareholder. Yeah, so you have shareholder.
So why
rights.
Don't people tokenize properties like that?
Because tokens aren't the same as shares. So the law, there's a long established law surrounding shares, whereas tokens, you know, there isn't law surrounding that.
But why aren't people putting properties into companies and then selling shares in the company? It's the same principle.
They are, it's crowdfunding. I mean, you could call those shares.
But they're
tokens
doing that for property.
To.
I didn't know. I thought you do crowdfunding for businesses. I didn't realize people were doing crowdfunding for
property. No, for
property.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. And then if you lease it out, you then take your percentage share of the rent.
Yeah. So the whole point is it's managed by the crowdfunding company. They lease it out for you, and when the check's clear, you get your percentage of that rent. And once it's sold, And it's normally, so you can have a someone request a sale. It then goes to a vote. If a certain percentage of people vote, yeah, I want to sell, then it's sold and the money is distributed to the shareholders. And also, you know, so the shareholders have various kind of like voting rights in it. So maybe they want to move it from, you know, a long-term let to an Airbnb. So you need a certain threshold of votes, you know, and then, you know, it'll be moved.
But surely you can then just sell your shares of the company if you want it out. Yeah. But then who values the property to see what your shares are worth?
So what would normally happen is you'd have the property valued on a six-monthly or yearly basis. So you have an indicative value of what the shares are worth, but in the end, the shares are worth what someone will pay for them. So if you put them up for sale, no one will pay you, you know, the value of the property for them, maybe you'll have to discount it, and then someone will buy them at that point. So you can have they call it OTC, over the counter trading in these kind of shares.
And how do they stop properties. People from owning 51% of the company? They have complete rights.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. You probably want to have something in place there where you can't own any more than 25%, perhaps something like that.
And 25% would stop you being able to make the carte blanche rule over.
Depending on how you draw up the terms and conditions. So obviously, if you're going to invest in this, you need to know the terms and conditions and what your powers are as a shareholder. We normally you'd have it in a shareholder's charter. So you know what your powers are and those are sort of protected by law. And then you can compel the property manager, who is this crowdfunding, you know, company, to do things with it by shareholder.
So crowdfunding is also not on the blockchain, whereas tokenization is on the blockchain.
Yeah, correct. But I mean, the thing about the blockchain is really useful where you don't have a strong regulator. Where you don't have someone who you can really trust to make sure that they've counted up all the shares and things like that. So it's really useful in informal situations where you don't trust someone. So like Bob, I don't want Bob to have the spreadsheet of who owns what because I think he might change one. But if you have the government holding the spreadsheet or, you know, the DIFC or Abu Dhabi Global Markets, you can trust those guys, you know, they're pretty like above board. So you don't need this, the distributed ledger, which is basically the value of a blockchain. Like, so in formal situations, it's not that valuable.
See it taking off?
No. Yeah, so I met a crowdfunding company.
Did you? Is that why we're talking about this?
Maybe.
How dare you?
And yeah, they had 156 properties. They'd exited 26 of them and had still 120 odd, 130 exactly. Yeah, on their books. They were property
and
managing them.
How many investors?
7,000 individual investors.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
Wow.
And to be honest, when they first, like, you know, invited me to go and talk to them, I was like, you know,
boring.
I mean, it's one of my things, but I thought this is never like a big thing. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
Yeah. And they've got, so they're regulated by the DIFC and
who are they?
Abu Dhabi Global Markets. I don't want to like name names.
Why?
There's other crowd. Sourcing,
okay.
You know,
who are these guys?
Platforms around.
Why are you being so coy? Did you make this story up?
No.
Who are they? Why are you being so coy about this? You're not telling anybody to go and use them. You're just saying this is a company that does it. You're not telling them that they're really good or really bad. You just that you met with them.
Yes. I may have forgotten their name.
I'd actually believe that, to be honest. The look on your face makes me feel like you're not holding out on me.
Yeah, true. Which I'm sad about now because I think I'm probably losing my mind. But anyway,
we'll worry about that tomorrow.
Really interesting. And so the good thing about it, either tokenization or this crowd sourcing platform, is you can gain exposure to property with less money or a bad credit history or inability to get a mortgage for other reasons, being a real estate agent and no one will give you a mortgage, for example. So you can get exposure to the property market in a smaller way.
And you have to pay in cash, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's cash.
Although if you're tokenizing it, they'll probably take crypto.
I mean, maybe. But yeah, I don't know much about the tokenization aspect of it, to be honest.
Okay.
This is I think the crowdsourcing of property is a more sensible, more stable approach to this owning fractional shares in property. Now the issue is when you sell your shares, do you have to pay the transfer fee on it? In Abu Dhabi, I think that there was a struggle because even if you sold part of the property, you had to pay 2% on the whole amount. I don't know if that's changed yet, but obviously you have to pay transfer fee when you sell part of it.
4% of whatever your percent ownership
of
is
of the value of what you're selling, I guess. So if you're selling shares worth 120,000, you pay 4% of that. As a transfer fee.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, and I think it's a good thing
that's
for the government.
That's probably really good for the land department in terms of revenue. Because you'll have loads more people just selling off shares.
Yeah, because easy to do. You know, obviously buying a property, there's a whole rigmarole to go through and, you know, takes a month or so and MOUs and things like that. But if you're regularly trading shares in property, you know, it's really useful. And they've got a really cool platform where you can see, you know, what the rent is, what the net rent is, less the service charges, less the management fee, and the upkeep of the actual SPV that they're using. So it's quite, you know, clear and transparent what it is that you're buying. And so you get...
So where do these guys make their money?
So they charge you a fee to go in. And for these particular guys, I think it's 1.5%. Of your investment they'll take. They take management fee of 1.5% and 2.5% on exit.
Mate, we should start a business. I've had a great idea. That's good money.
Someone else's
Yeah, that's great. Like, that's good money. I mean, with 175 properties under management, that management.
Yeah. And most of their properties are a million plus. So, yeah, it's probably a couple hundred million in there.
Blimey. Yeah. Good business.
Yeah, and I think the guys who've done it now have been the trailblazers, getting all of this regulation sorted with DIFC and ADGM to make their work easier. But yeah, if you could attract the investors, then I think it's very interesting. I mean, and so they're thinking about moving into Abu Dhabi now. We've spoken about this a ton on this podcast. In Abu Dhabi, people are still. They don't like to invest in secondary markets. They're like just want to invest in off plan. But I think in Dubai, there's a healthy market investing in secondary market. And what you can see there, because of the capital appreciation that you guys had, which is ridiculous, you know, some of their exits, like people have made 100%, you know, of their money back over 2 or 3 years on the capital appreciation. Obviously, being a sensible investor, you should only invest on net return. But yeah, if you're getting very good capital appreciation, then it can be great.
You know, those guys would argue were lucky more than anything. You know, nobody really saw. I mean, if you'd asked me about the real estate market a year and a half ago, I would have said, you know, we're probably at the top.
You were wrong.
I was wrong. I've been wrong about three times now that I can count. But look, yeah, I mean, what a great business plan, and kudos to these unnamed people that you. Won't name drop for being active enough to go and do it. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, that is
it's a great sign of the ingenuity of a young place like Dubai and Abu Dhabi.
And there's a few of them that do it, and there were some like as long ago as 2015, and they were using kind of like structures in the USA and things like that because the DIFC and ADGM weren't providing them with the right kind of like vehicles for it. So now, you know, that landscape's really evolved, and you know the UAE is you know competing to get these prop tech, you know, companies going and off the ground and really supporting them in what they're doing. So that's great. And if you're a property investor, it just gives you another asset class to invest in, which is good.
That's been fun.
Yeah, it has been fun. Yeah, I've enjoyed that. When you say like famous people, like when they're invited on podcasts, they always have to say afterwards, well, that was fun. Yeah,
are we famous now?
I mean, we didn't invite each other legend. On there. You are.
We were on our second podcast. So I didn't mention
other
it in the
video
first
on that. Yeah.
What's it like
what
to be a Dubai legend?
In Dubai legend, who beat you?
Ocho. Everyone, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 beat me. But I'm too humble to talk about it.
Maybe I'll do another video on Dubai legend. anyway, I've been Ben from Abu Dhabi.
This has been fun. I've been Barney from Dubai.
See you next time.
Thanks for joining us.